Good morning. Today's daf in Kedushin Lamed Tes. We're going to be starting with the words Tanan and Hausam found on Lamed Chesim and Beis. We are going to continue now for a third day regarding Chadash and Chutzarts and the application of Chadash and Chutzarts. And while we're on the topic of Chadash, we're also going to speak about Arlam. We're going to be speaking about Kalai Karim and Kalai Zeraim and Harkavas Ilan and a lot of agricultural halachas. For the first half of today's daf, from the balance of yesterday's daf through the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Tes Amud Beis. So we are going to conclude the Gemara's discussion regarding various agricultural halachas and their application outside of Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, obviously, all this is started with the Mishnah that taught us that mitzvah satulis baris, that any mitzvah that is agricultural is limited to Eretz Yisrael. So that's true, but with every rule you have exceptions. And so what we're learning together is that there are notable exceptions. Just before we even start with the Gemara, I might as well mention this. I could have mentioned this yesterday, 2 days ago, and that is that interestingly enough, so you know what is not discussed in this entire discussion, and that's going to be the mitzvah of challah. Mitzvah of challah is not discussed. Mitzvah of challah is an agricultural halacha, right? In other words, we're mafrish challah. In other words, you have dough and you take off some of the dough and you give it to the kohen, and ostensibly that is an agricultural halacha. And just to note, it's hard to make these observations because what's missing in the Gemara? Meaning, obviously, we're having extensive discussions regarding Chadash and Arla and Kalaya Kerem. But in other words, what is conspicuously absent from the Gemara? So I'm just raising this as an observation. And it's not my observation. I'm sure you already figured that out. But raising it as an observation, and that is that the mitzvah of challah, which does apply outside of Eretz Yisrael, right? We all know this, but in other words, it is not mentioned in this entire sugya. Good. Okay. I could.
Because the other one, Claire, can, you know, it's part of the thing.
Right. Okay, fine. So already Phil's formulating, yeah. and he could see it. And that is that challah, even though I called it agricultural, but you could see it as something which is a little bit less agricultural, a little bit more chovas agof. Good. Perfect. Okay. That already was good. In the meantime, however, we're going to be starting with the words Tanan Hausam. It is found on Lamed Chesam Ad Beis, a little bit more than halfway down in the Amud, and a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah Arla. This is the third parak of Arla, ninth Mishnah of that parak. Okay, I don't want to give the misimpression that I have like real Bekiyas in the Mishnayos over there in Arla. I do not. But okay, Mirtzo Hashem. Okay, the Billy Neder as we're approaching Yom Kippur. Okay, no, without making a neder, a formal neder, Hakadosh Asim and Atarah, Bechol Makom. So as far as the Yisr of Chadash is concerned, so I'm not going to reintroduce the Yisr of Chadash again because this is now on day three that we're discussing and describing the Yisr of Chadash. So I'm assuming everyone here knows what it is, and if not, just go back to yesterday's daf, the daf before. The Yisr of Chadash applies everywhere, and Asim and Atarah Bechol Makom. And not only does it apply everywhere, but in Atarah. So it's an Issa Torah. Chadash is an Issa Torah throughout the lands, in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Ha'arla, halacha, as far as Arla is concerned, halacha. Meaning that there is a halacha that Arla's application extends beyond Eretz Yisrael and applies in Chutz Arts as well. Now, obviously, what is the definition of halacha that needs definition? So hold, because we're going to define that momentarily. And finally, Kalaim Medivri Sofrim. And the fact that Kalaim applies outside of Eretz Yisrael, that's Medivri Sofrim. That's a din d'rabbanan. It's not a din d'oraisa. Okay, now it's a little bit early in the daf, but we're going to pause right now, and we're just going to summarize. Because now, at this point in time that we've introduced this Mishnah here in Arla from the third parak, so this now represents the third opinion regarding the various agricultural halachas apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. And now let's summarize. Over the course of yesterday, 2 days ago, and today, so for the last 3 days, so we were introduced to a range of positions. And let's take a moment now to just simply organize all the opinions. We'll start with the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. And by the way, even as I'm giving summary of the various opinions that we've seen over the course of the last 3 days, this is not exhaustive, meaning that there's more to be, there's more opinions, but in terms of the various sheets, so here's how we're going to organize it. Number one is the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's of the position, and when I say Rabbi Shimon over here, we're talking about the Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So he says that all three of these, okay, in other words, the three that were grouping together, lumping together, is Chadash and Arla and Kalayim, So according to Rabbi Shimon, they all apply in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, min haTorah. No distinction to be made regarding the degree of application of these three in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, min haTorah. Now, as far as Chadash is concerned, so that's Rabbi Shimon's interpretation of the word Moshav. Moshav means wherever you are settled, wherever you're situated. So Chadash is going to apply. And as far as the other two are concerned, Arlan and Kalayim, so that was the Kal Vachomer. Go back to yesterday's daf to review the Kal Vachomer. Okay, but obviously, when you're learning something via Kal Vachomer, so that that learning, that application is a din d'oraisa. So that's number one, Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Number two, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. That's the son of Rabbi Shimon, which we already noted yesterday. It's odd, it's strange that he's arguing with his father, but he is. And that is that min haTorah, none of the three apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. As far as Arla is concerned, so that is, there is going to be an Arla application outside of Eretz Yisrael, but that's not min haTorah, as there is Kalaim. Kalaim also is going to apply outside of Eretz Yisrael, but not min haTorah. Okay, and the degree of Arla and Kalaim applying outside of Eretz Yisrael, so that go back to yesterday's daf. But anyway, but according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Chadash, Arla, Kalaim are not min haTorah outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, which obviously is in stark contrast to his father. And then we have the third opinion, which is the Mishnah that we just read together. Now, what happened in this Mishnah together? So as far as Chadash is concerned, min haTorah applies in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, like Rabbi Shimon. But here in this Mishnah, it is not the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, so Arla and Kalaim also min haTorah apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. And meanwhile, the Mishnah and Arla that we just read clearly now takes Arla and Kalayim and drops them down a level. Well, Arla's halacha, we don't yet know what that means. We're going to see what that means momentarily. But we certainly know what Divrei Sofer means in the context of the Mishnah. Divrei Sofer means mid derabanan. Kalayim is mid derabanan according to this Mishnah and Arla. So this Mishnah and Arla is not the Shita Rabbi Shimon. It's not the Shita Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. It's a third Shita. Okay, and obviously, I'm just presenting. In other words, all we're doing is just organizing. What you need to then do, which we're not going to do right now, is then you have to figure out like what's the thought process behind this middle shita. In other words, this middle shita that exists somewhere between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. And for more of that, by the way, you could see the bottom Tosfos over here on this Amud, who spends a little bit of time discussing that very point. Okay. Anyway, we're going to go back now. So we have this Mishnah in Arla. It's a middle shita. It exists between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara now wants to just simply understand pshat of this Mishnah. The Mishnah clearly puts Chadash as an Isser min haTorah in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. It takes Kalayim and says it's a din d'rabbanan outside of Eretz Yisrael. And now what about Arla? So Arla is halacha outside of Eretz Yisrael. So my halacha. Very simple question. What does the Mishnah in Arla mean by that? I'm Rav Yudah Mashmal Hilchus HaMedina. Ula I'm Rav Yochan HaLacha Moshe Misinai. So it's a machlokas amarim, exactly what the word halacha means in the context of that Mishnah. In that Mishnah, according to Rav Yudah Mashmal, Hilchus HaMedina. Hilchus HaMedina, so we'll interpret that to mean, it's a minug. Minug. So that means to say that really min haTorah, the Arla does not apply outside of Eretz Yisrael, but we're noheg. We practice Arla. That ostensibly is what it means. And meanwhile, according to Ula, in the name of Rav Yochanan, no. Halacha over here means Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Now there, right. So Phil already notices, and that is a wide divide that exists between these two positions. Meaning that Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael is either, right now, within these two opinions, it's either a Din D'oraisa, but just simply not sourced in the Torah, otherwise known as Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Halacha Moshe Mitzinai is a Din D'oraisa. Just happens to be that it's a tradition, goes all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. There's not going to be an onesh for halacha Moshe Mitzinai, but in terms of its weight, in terms of its sourcing, it's a din d'oraisa. Masha Ein Kein, on the other side of the spectrum, we're all the way down to a minug. It doesn't apply, not mid d'oraisa, not mid d'rabbanan, minug. We're just simply knowing. Okay, good. So those are the two positions. That is a wide divide. So Amalei Ula LeRav Yehuda Bishlam LeDidi Damin and Halacha Moshe Mitzinai Haynu Deshanel HaBein Safek Arla LeSafek Kalayim. So now, Ula, who again was quoted Rabbi Yochanan, said, look, my position really is the more defensible position, because here's what we're going to do. We're going to compare and contrast. We're going to learn together two Mishnayos that have to do with Suffolk. Suffolk Arla and Suffolk Kalayim. Outside of Eretz Yisrael. And we're going to see these two Mishnayos side by side. And we're going to note that there is a small but significant difference between Suffolk Arla and Suffolk Kalayim outside of Eretz Yisrael. We're going to start off with Suffolk Arla. Now, Suffolk Arla happens to be so easy to come up with a case of Suffolk Arla. And that is that you go over to a tree and you have no idea what the history of the tree is. Is this now year three of the tree, year five of the tree? We don't know. Exactly. So that would be a case now of Suffolk Arla. If it's year three, so it's Arla. If it's year five, it's fine. We don't know. Another case, nice and simple also, is that we have an orchard and we have trees that are planted at different points in time. And I took a fruit from one of the trees and I don't know which tree I took it from. It's so easy to come up with a case of Suffolk Arla. Anyway, how do I treat Suffolk Arla in Chutz Aretz? That's the question. So here we have a Mishnah. This Mishnah also is from Arla. So did not Suffolk Arla, so Baretz Aser. So if this was an Eretz Yisrael, we would be Machmer to Suffolk and it didn't Daraisa. So we're going to be Machmer. This Surya Mutter. Now in Surya, where it's going to be Mutter. Now what is Surya? Surya is a next territory of Eretz Yisrael, but it's Kibush Yachid. David HaMelech went ahead and he did battle, but he did not have a mandate. He did not have a national mandate to go to war, and so therefore throughout the Gemara is called Kibush Yachid, and a very, very general debate that takes place throughout Shas, and that is Kibush Yachid. Shmei Kibush or Lav Shmei Kibush? And so over here, we're going to assume that Surya now is not Eretz Yisrael proper. It's not Chutz Aretz. It's somewhere in between. Okay, so if we have a Suffolk Arla in Surya, Mutter. Now, Chutz Aretz, so now we're in Chutz Aretz Mamish. So over here, Yari V'lokeach, Uvavad Shalo Yirenu, locate. So when it comes to Suffolk Arla in Chutz Aretz, so now what you can do is as follows. So you can have now a Jew going down to the orchard, going ahead and taking it. So Lo Yirenu locate, but what you cannot do is you cannot see from which tree he actually took. Meaning, you could be willfully ignorant by Suffolk Arla and Chutz Aretz. Okay? And by the way, that's exactly what we do. Meaning, I'm sure most of the vast majority of the trees that are producing the fruit that we're eating, that we're going to the store and that we're eating, so I'm right, they're probably trees that are older than 3 years. Okay.
How does this defend it?
Wait, we have to, in other words, we're going to take Suffolk Arla, we're going to take Suffolk Kalayim, we're going to put them side by side, we're going to compare, so we're not there yet. Okay, so right now, willful ignorance means that you're allowed, you're totally allowed to be ignorant on this. Meaning you don't have to do any kind of back check. As long as you don't know, then Suffolk Arla and Chutz Aretz is perfectly fine. Okay, that's the mission Arla regarding Suffolk Arla. Now, we're going to do the same thing, but now with Suffolk Kalayim. V'ilu Kalayim Tanan. Now, Suffolk Kalayim is going to be a little bit more trickier. Okay, Suffolk Kalayim, what does that mean? Is this field now a blend of grape seeds and other grains being planted together? Yes or no? And we're not sure? So that's not really the case of Suffolk Kalayim. The case of Suffolk Kalayim is that I have two fields. One field is definitely Kalayim, another field is definitely not Kalayim. And what I did is that we harvested from one of those fields and we don't know which one it came from. And apparently, you have to say this. And apparently, the produce looks exactly the same. Okay, let's not just assume, but that's the case over here under review. All we need to know is that it's a case of Suffolk Kalayim. And what do? So v'ilu gabi klaim tanana kermana to a yerek v'yerek nimkar chutzalo. So now, if I have a case of Suffolk Kalayim, so baaretz aser, so good. So in Eretz Yisrael, so now it's a Suffolk and a din d'oraisa, right, so we're going to be machmer. Got it. V'Surya Mutter, in Surya it's going to be Mutter. So far, if you're doing a side-by-side comparison, which is what we're supposed to be doing right now, so we have so far a match in terms of Suffolk Arla, Suffolk Kalayim in Eretz Yisrael, Aser. Suffolk Kalayim, Suffolk Arla in Surya Mutter. And now, here's the money line. And now, when it comes to Chutz Aretz, so what do you do? So Yared, V'Locate, Uvavashalo, Yilko B'Yad. Okay, so What you could do is as follows in Chutz Arts, and that is, you can go in and harvest from the Kalayim. And then you yourself are not going to eat it, but what you can do now is you can give it over to somebody else. Okay. In other words, the only limitation restriction of a Suffolk Kalayim in Chutz Arts is when you yourself were the ones who went and harvested, and you yourself know where you harvested it from. But when you then hand it over to somebody else, so what that basically does is the other person now is allowed to eat it. Now, I know this sounds strange, right? It's a really diluted version of Kalayim, where the only one who can't eat it is the one who picked it, but once he hands it over to somebody else, so he's allowed to eat it. But again, in other words, it is strange. It's really strange to process, but the idea is that Kalayim outside of Eretz Yisrael is really but nothing more than just a minug. And so therefore, when I have Suffolk Kalayim, and over here, Suffolk, our definition of Suffolk over here is a really diluted version of Suffolk. Suffolk over here just simply means that me, myself, I know where I got it from. But once I hand it over to somebody else, obviously there's no need for me to tell them where it came from. And even though I know that it came from Kalayim, once I hand it over to someone else, it's going to be okay. I realize it. I recognize that's strange. But what comes out over here is the following. Meaning now you could see the difference between Suffolk Arla and Suffolk Kalayim. Previously by Suffolk Arla. So what was allowed by Suffolk Arla? So that is that there has to at least be an actual doubt of where the fruit came from. Oh. As long as there's an actual doubt where the fruit came from, so then me, the buyer, I don't have to do any kind of research. I don't have to do any checking. Okay. That's by Arla. By Kalayim, it actually were more lenient. By Suffolk Kalayim, even though the one who picked it knew exactly where he got it from, once he hands it over to the buyer, the buyer can now buy it, and even though the seller knows exactly where it came from. Okay. That's it. And now obviously, what does that mean? It means that we're more makel when it comes to Kalayim than we are by Arla. Okay. Now, with that stated, Rav Yochanan, this is really Ula talking right now. So Rav Yochanan says that perfect, meaning because I hold that our Chutz Aretz is Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. Obviously, that is much higher than just a minug. Kalayim Chutz Aretz is just a minug. For me, it's perfect. But for you now, Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, where you hold that Arla and Kalayim are both minhagim outside of Eretz Yisrael, so then what we should do is we should have consistency in terms of what the din of Suffolk Arla and Suffolk Kalayim be in Chutz Aretz. And what I'm finding is there is no consistency. But that's exactly the Gemara's point, as we're now on the top of Lamed Tesamen Aleph. So Nisni, Zevezeh Yor Velokech. So what we should have is a consistent viewpoint. So Amar Leishmola Rav Anan. So the Gemara says, okay, that's your kasha. I got a great answer, and that is that my version of the Mishnah Arla does present a consistent viewpoint. So when Shmuel says to Rav Anan, you're going to say over that Mishnah Arla, that's great. The Mishnayos should sound identical to one another because there is no difference between Kalayim and Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael either. And so therefore, where are you going to stand in terms of a Suffolk Arla and Suffolk Kalayim? Wherever you stand, just be consistent. So Marbury de Rabbanan, I'm asking Lalakula. Zevizet Yorvaloke Vavashalo Yokabiyad. Now Marbury de Rabbana, one of the later Amoraim, so the way he learned the Mishnayos in Arla, number one, he learned it consistently, like we just said. And number two, the option that he went with is even the more lenient option. Again, the more lenient option is that the seller knows exactly where he got it from, but as far as then when selling over to the buyer, he absolutely has no need to inform him. And the buyer can buy it with no questions whatsoever. Okay, that is a significant leniency that applies to both Arla and Kalayim. Amalei Levi Shmuel Aryoch Safik Levana Echol. So Levi says to Shmuel Aryoch, you're a lion, you're a king, right? Because Shmuel was the head of Nahardal. So anyway, Safik Levana Echol. So here's what I would like you to do for me. In other words, your workers, whatever. So you go ahead and you collect now. Now here it was a description of Arya, it was a description of Arla. So you go ahead and you collect the fruit from your field and it was from trees that may or may not be Arla. Again, right now, this is the Sheet of Shmuel. This is Arla's Chutz Aretz. Arla's Chutz Aretz is a minug. So now there is a significant dispensation. And that is that you can collect from whatever trees you want. You yourself can't eat it because you know which trees it came from. But then what you can do is you can now turn around and give it to me, and it's fine for me. Basically, you could be metahir the fruit as long as you pick them and then you give them to me. Rav Avia, Rav Chana Misafka, Sepuka Lahadade, and Rav Avia and Rabba Bar Rav Chanan. So what they would do is that they would misapik each other. In other words, again, the person who picked it can't eat it. But then when he hands it over to somebody else, the receiver can go ahead and eat it. Okay. Okay, Amrei Harifa de Pumpadisa. Okay, more on this topic of Arlas Chosaretz. These are the sharp ones of Pumpadisa. Ain Arla Bechosaretz. So, they're going to take an even more, quote unquote, radical position. And that is that we were talking about the degree of Arlan Chosaretz. So far, where are we in terms of our range of positions? Arla Chosaretz, according to Rav Yochanan, is Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. According to Shmuel, it's a minug, right? And based on their position, so the various leniencies regarding Suffolk. Good. And now, the Harifa de Pumbedisa, so they say, Arlan Chutzaretz, nothing. Nothing. Ein Arla B'Chutzaretz. So Shachar, Rav Yehuda, Lekamet, Rav Yochanan, Shachalei, Sesom Sfeika, V'Abed V'Ada, V'Achreza Perosem Shetun in Geniza, V'Cholomer, Ein Arla B'Chutzaretz, Lo Yehelo, Nin V'Nechen Mashlich Chevel, Begor Bekal Hashem. So, this position made its way all the way to Rav Yochanan. And when Rav Yochanan heard this position, basically, I'll reread the Gemara and I'll explain a little bit better, but basically Rav Yochanan says, shut them down. In other words, shut them down, shut them up, meaning that is not a position that needs to be said out loud, shouldn't be said out loud. Okay. That's Rav Yochanan's. Rav Yochanan had a very strong reaction to this viewpoint. Okay. If I may, let's just go back and let's just translate. Right? Everything I'm saying now is according to Rashi. When Rav Yochanan heard this, Rav Yochanan sent the following correspondence. Number one, Stom Sfeika, according to Rashi. In other words, take this opinion and never declare it publicly. Keep it private. Okay, this is a private opinion, should never be shared with others. That's Stom Sfeika. And Abed Vadai, and as far as the fruit is concerned, meaning any fruit that they took on the basis of this position, so what you should do with that fruit is lose the fruit, destroy the fruit. And achrez al perosem tunim gniza. Anyone who's making with this position and purchase fruit based on this opinion, so that fruit requires gniza. And anyone who goes ahead and repeats this viewpoint that arlas chutz aretz is not a thing, so they're not going to have any children or grandchildren. Okay, a very strong right. Okay, it quotes the pasuk from Micha. Anyway, but. A really, really strong reaction by Rav Yochanan to this position that there is no such thing as Arlas Chutz Aretz. The Inu, now the Gemara says, okay. So obviously Rav Yochanan, strong reaction. But meanwhile, the Harifei Pumpadisa really held like this. So in other words, and their position is based on what? Now we already saw this morning the Mishnah Arla, that started off our whole morning. So clearly holds that Arlas Chutz Aretz is a thing, meaning it's certainly something. Now again, what it is, to the degree in which it is, so that we spent the beginning of this morning going over. But the Harifa de Pumbedisa, so in other words, they were B'nai Torah. They knew Halacha. So where did they get it from? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So Kaman Savrua Ki Had Tanya, so they're going like the following Bryce, the Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yossi Ben Duru Maska, Sharma Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Sharma Mishum Rabbi Yochum Menuri, Sharma Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Agadol, So the Gemara's answer is very simply, they have a Kabbalah. They have a tradition that goes all the way back to Rabbi Eliezer. Velo. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. That Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. And oh, by the way, I know it can get confusing because I for sure was confused. In other words, when we're now citing this tradition going all the way back to Rabbi Eliezer, not to be confused with the Shita of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, the son of the Rashbi, that's a different Rabbi Lazar. Okay. Anyway, this takes us back to Rabbi Eliezer, who we normally describe as a Shemuti. Okay, if you're following. So over here, Van Antana Rabbi Lazar Amar Av Chadash. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. That's so confusing. Why? Because of the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah that started this whole discussion that engendered 3 days of discussion. The Mishnah taking us all the way back to Daf Lamed. It starts on Lamed Vav Amed Beis, going to the top of Lamed Zayin. So we are Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, Lamed Tes. Wow. So we are now 3 days in this discussion. Rabbi Lazar Shita that we saw at the end of the Mishnah is Af HaChadash. Even Chadash. Oh. So even Chadash, meaning even Chadash applies outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, I say that, by the way, you remember the first sugya that we did immediately after the Mishnah was what exactly is the Shita Rabbi Lazar? Rabbi Eliezer. But meanwhile, let's just assume that Rabbi Lazar Shita is that Chadash applies outside of Eretz Yisrael. And now you're telling me that Rabbi Lazar telling is of the position that there's no Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, but did you hear him in the Mishnah? Let's repeat. Af HaChadash. Even Chadash. Which means Chadash in addition to Arla. Oh. So the Gemara says, Av HaChadash Ni Chadash. So the Gemara says, okay, so if you subscribe to this tradition, so what you're going to have to do is you're going to go back to the Mishnah, you're going to edit the Mishnah. The Mishnah now should not read Av HaChadash, but rather the Mishnah should read just simply the words Chadash. Rabbi Eliezer says, what applies outside of Eretz Yisrael? Chadash applies outside of Eretz Yisrael. And now within this edited version, only Chadash. Okay. I realize, by the way, that there are a lot of opinions and there's a lot of juggling going on over here. And it's, you know, I'm fortunate where I got to go over this numerous times, but I admit that there is just a lot to keep in mind over here regarding all the opinions. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, we are continuing. We are just about halfway down on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. And we are now going to go more into the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan of Arlas Chutz Aretz. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Arla B'Chutz Aretz, Halach L'Moshe Mesinai. Okay, so it happens to be that we already heard this earlier this morning in the name of Ula, but over here, very clear. And that is the Shitas Rav Yochanan, that Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael is a Din D'Oraisa. It just, the sourcing is Halach L'Moshe Mesinai. Meaning we don't have a Pasuk, we don't have a Drasha. It's Halach L'Moshe Mesinai. So Amalei Rabbi Zer L'Rabbi Asi V'Atanya Safik Ala Ba'aretz Asur V'Surya Motor. So now, great. What are you going to do? Now we have the words V'Hatanya. Usually Hatanya refers to a Braisa, but we happen to know it's not just a Braisa, it's a Mishnah in Arla as well. Anyway, but Safik Arla Ba'aretz Asur V'Surya Motor. So what happens when I have Safik? So the Mishnah told us that outside of Eretz Yisrael, you could be Mako. The Gemara says, what? If according to Rav Yochanan, If according to Rav Yochanan, Arla in Chutz Aretz is a Din D'Oraisa, albeit Halach L'Moshe Mesinai, so how can you be Mekel regarding a Suffolk? Or don't we normally say Suffolk D'Oraisa is L'Chumra? So Isham and Kishad Echada. Now when I asked that question, so his first reaction is, oh, that's a really good question. Ravasi was a little bit dumbfounded with that question. However, so now Rav Asi, after thinking about it for a moment, says, you know what? I know the answer. And that is, that's part and parcel of Halach L'Moshe Mesinai. Meaning, Halach L'Moshe Mesinai does not necessarily need to follow the regular rules of a Din D'Oraisa. A Din D'Oraisa, you're right. A suffix on a Din D'Oraisa, we're going to be Machmir. However, that's a Din D'Oraisa where it is in the Torah or it's Darshan from the Torah. Okay? On such a Din D'Oraisa, we're going to say Safik L'Chumra. However, on Halach L'Moshe Mesinai, so over there, part and parcel of the Halach L'Moshe Mesinai is that on the Vada it's going to be Aser, but on the Safik, it's going to be Mutter. That's all. Okay. So, okay. And then, well beyond the scope of the Daf, I'll ask the question, but knowing, however, that this is a discussion, and that is the Gemara right now saying this specific only to Arla? Or is the Gemara saying this generally by every Halach L'Moshe Mesinai? Anytime that we have a Halach L'Moshe Mesinai, we have a suffix. By Halach L'Moshe Mesinai, are we going to simply say that we're going to that we're able to be Mako? Okay.
So it's not really 100% in the
license? Right. In other words, category? Right. In other, right. Where are we going to put it categorically? Perfect. Okay. Really good question. I'm Rabbi Yossi. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Lokan. I'll climb to our Torah. Okay. Now. Another halacha that is said over the name of Rav Yochanan. And again, by the way, not only are there a lot of opinions, but there are a lot of subjects that we're discussing in the course of today's daf. So we just discussed Arla extensively. Now we're moving over to Kalayim. So I'm Rabbi Asi, I'm Rabbi Yochanan Lokan, I'll climb Dvar Torah. So what happens now if you go ahead and you plant Kalayim? Alternatively, you eat Kalayim. So presumably over here we're talking about the planting of Kalayim, but either way. So it's Asur and Chutz Aretz. So if you plant it, it's an Issur Daraisa, subject to Malkus. So I'm Le Rav Elazar, Rav Yosef, Anantanana, Kalayim, and Divrei Sofrim. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. We're gonna return to that Mishnah and Arla again. Right, that Mishnah and Arla that started our daf today, obviously it is critical. It is fundamental to the entire ensuing discussion. And over there in that Mishnah, Kalayim was Midivrei Sofrim. It was a Din D'Rabbanan. How in the world are you getting Malkus? So lo kasha kan b'klai karam kan b'arkavas ilan. So the Gemara now is going to make a distinction between klai karam and arkavas ilan. Klai karam is a vineyard where you're planting grains in the you're planting grains together with the vines, with the grapes, right? Grape seeds and grains. And in a moment we're going to discuss. It has to be together. It has to be the seeds are thrown out together. Anyway, so that's klai karam. And then on top of that, we have what's called Arkavas Ilan. Arkavas Ilan is grafting, grafting trees. Okay. Now, interestingly and oddly enough, what are we going to say? We're going to say that the Mishnah in Arla was talking about Klai Akerem. Now, that's not odd, meaning the Mishnah clearly is talking about Klai Akerem. The odd part is that Klai Akerem in Chutz Aretz is not a Din D'Oraisa. It's a Din D'Rabbanan, but it's not a Din D'Oraisa. And Arkavas Ilan, the grafting of trees, that's in Isra Daraisa, in Chutz Aretz. How do we get there? So Kiddush Shmuel, so the Gemara says, I'll tell you how we get there. It's predicated on Shmuel's position. Daimer Shmuel es chukosai tishmaru. Okay, pasuk in Vayikra. So chukim shechakakti lecha kvar, behemtecha los arbiya klaim sadcha los izra. Ma behemtecha b'arva, sadcha b'harkava. Ma behemtecha noeg b'en b'arz b'en b'chutz aretz. So avsadcha bein baritz bein b'chutz aretz ve'ela haksiv sadcha ha'ulamute Yisraim shebechutz aretz. Okay. The drasha according to Shmuel basically goes like this. Okay. There are several mitzvahs that predate Sinai. Okay. We call them Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Okay. We're familiar. So the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So one of the things that are bound by Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Now this is not universally accepted viewpoint, but you open up the Gemara in Sanhedrin, da dapim nunvav nunzai nunches. Now, I guess maybe I am showing off, but it's easy to remember because mitzvah Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Okay, it's a great mnemonic. So you want to know where you're going to find the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So you turn to page 58 and the couple of pages before that in Sanhedrin, and you're going to find all the discussion regarding Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. According to an opinion, including Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, is that you're not allowed to crossbreed animals. Okay, crossbreeding animals is, now I'm going to say it's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. That may be wrong. That may be an incorrect statement. In other words, it may be that we're not limited to seven. It may be that they're eight or nine or whatever. In other words, okay, or alternatively, maybe it's a subcategory of one of the seven. But then I'm going to have to try to figure out which one of the seven, and off the top of my head, I can't do that right now. It don't matter. The point is that crossbreeding animals, according to one opinion in Sanhedrin, is one of the mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Okay, and I'll just not use the word sheva, and it'll be much easier that way. Fine. So now, according to Shmuel, since that predates Sinai, so therefore, anything that is comparable to crossing animals is also going to be usher as well. Both in and outside Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, basically what we're going to do is we're going to file that as a chovas aguf, even though it's agricultural. So what's similar to crossing animals? Grafting trees. Grafting trees is very similar to crossing animals. In other words, basically, we're taking two animals, we're putting them together, and we're creating now a cross. An animal that is basically a cross between the two. So what happens when you're grafting trees? Same thing. Okay. Right, we whatever in the school we're talking about estrogim that are mukavim, right? We got to watch together videos in terms of how to graft a tree. Okay, it's a real art. Anyway, harkavas ilan is aser, and it's filed under the same category as a chovas agof. That's why, according to Shmuel, right? And again, I'm not really spending a lot of time with the drasha, but that's why, according to Shmuel, Harkavas Ilan is going to be an Issa Daraisa in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. It files under Chovas Aguf. Kalai HaKerem, on the other hand, that is an agricultural halacha. And it files under an agricultural halacha. It's not considered one of the B'nai Noach. And since now it's an agricultural halacha, it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, din d'Rabbanan. But not a din d'Araisa. That's all according to Shmuel. Good. Rav Chanan, Rav Anan, have a shakle v'azle b'orcha. So it happens to be Rav Chanan and Rav Anan were traveling. And what are they observing in Chos Aretz? So what they're observing is people are planting various seeds together in the same garden. Wait. Let's go back. So Amrlei, so Rav Anan says to Rav Chanan. So Nesimar Nishamte. Okay, so now, look, we're out of town right now. I mean that literally. So we're out of town right now. I don't know, maybe we should put them in Cherem. Right, so Amar Lei, lo chavriso. Lo chavriso, the way Rashi understands it. So, in halachos kalayim mechuvarim lachem. Meaning you are not, you don't have clarity on the halachas of Kalayim. Right? Happens to be the Masechta Kalayim, which again, I'm going to put on my to-do list, happens to be one of the most difficult sets of Mishnayos in all of Shas. Mm-hmm. And basically he says, look, you see somebody doing it out here, you don't have full clarity yet on the halachas of Kalayim, and so consequently, you're in no position to reprimand others. Okay, strong statement. Vesu the Gemara says, again, more travels of Rav Chanan and Rav Anan. So they saw somebody planting wheat and barley in a vineyard. So he says, okay, wheat and barley in a vineyard, right? That's wrong, right? So once again, just a quick dismissal. You don't have full clarity on the halachas of Kalayim. And so therefore, it's what they're doing is fine. This is a you problem. So lo kaimalan kareb Yoshia damar, right? You have to, in terms of inflection and reading, in other words, this is a rhetorical question, right? Lo kaimalan kareb Yoshia damar ashi is rachita zor v'chartzim b'mampolis yad. The only way to properly violate the iser of kalayim is that all seeds have to be planted simultaneously. If you already have an existing vineyard and then you're planting other seeds over there, that's not an iser d'oraisa. Compounded with the fact that right now we're not in Eretz Yisrael, we're outside of Eretz Yisrael. So over here, you can even be more mekel. So in other words, so all you need is just better understanding, better fluency of the halachas of Kalayim, and therefore you will not be in a position where you can reprimand others. Okay. Rav Yosef Marve Bizrani, Vizarim. So Rav Yosef, so he took a number of different seeds and he planted them together. Obviously, he's in Chutz Aretz. Amrle Abai Vanantanana Kalayim Midivrei Sofrim. So Abai turns to his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, and says, Yelamdenu, please teach me. I don't understand. Meaning, the Mishnah Arla. The Mishnah Arla says that Kalayim applies outside of Eretz Yisrael, Medivrei Sofrim. Medivrei Sofrim is a din de Rabbanan. So I don't get it. So Amalei, Lokasha, Kambaklai, Karen, Kambaklai, Zaraim. So in other words, no. What's outside? What's also outside of Eretz Yisrael is Kalai Karen. Meaning that's when you're planting other seeds with a vineyard. That's an Isser Durabanan outside of Eretz Yisrael. But some, you're planting different seeds together outside of Eretz Yisrael, that's fine. So, Klai Akarim de Ba'aretz, Asurim Ba'ana, so Bechutz Aretz Nami Gazru Be Rabbanan, Klai Ezraim de Ba'aretz, Asurim Ba'ana, so Bechutz Aretz Lo Gazru Be Rabbanan. And furthermore, Rav Yosef says to Abaye, and I'll explain to you why. Because when it comes to Klai Akarim, so in Eretz Yisrael, it's an Isser Daraisa. Not only is it an Isser Daraisa, it's Asur Behana. Once you plant and once you have growth from that vineyard, from the grape seeds and the grains, so once you have growth from it, it is usur not only to eat, can't even get benefit from it. Usur ba'achil, usur ba'ana. Masha enkein, in Eretz Yisrael, when you plant different seeds together, not vineyard, not vines, not grape seeds, but when you plant different seeds together, you're violating an isur d'oraisa, meaning that is kalai zera'im, but the yield, the produce, is not usur ba'ana. So since now, already in Eretz Yisrael, we've dropped down a level in terms of the seriousness of the effect. So therefore, in Chutz Arts, we're going to be even more makel. Okay. In other words, the Chachamim weren't goes there at all. Hadar Amar Rav Yosef Lamil Sidamre, the Rav Zaraginta de Beirav Mishari Shari. So now Rav Yosef says, here, upon further review, so I'd like to retract. Why? Because here's what I'm noticing. So Rav planted seeds in Chutz Aretz, and it wasn't grape seeds. It was stam. It was other seeds. But in other words, he individualized every row. So now I'm thinking to myself, I just made a distinction between Klai HaKerem and Klai Zeraim in Chutz Aretz. Klai HaKerem, Aser Midrabanan. Klai Zeraim Mutalagamre. That's what I said. But now I'm looking at Rav, and Rav is planting not even grape seeds, just stam, other seeds, and he individualized every row. So my time, Alav Mishum, Eruv, Eruv, Eklayim. So presumably he did that because planting seeds together, even in Chutz Aretz, is usher. Presumably. So Amalei Abaye Bishlami Yesh Mi'inan, Arbal Arba Ruchos Arugav Achaz Bamsa Shapir. So the counter argument to that is no, it's not a Eklayim issue. The fact that you know what he did doesn't necessarily mean you know why he did it. You're right. He did plant rows individually. Each seed got its own particular row. It has nothing to do with climb. If it was a climb issue, so then what he would do, he would do the special configuration. Now, I say special configuration. Go back to Shabbos. Go to the ninth perek. I'm looking at Rashi over here. Peidalet. Daf Peidalet and Shabbos. So over there, the Gemara and Shabbos, the Mishnah and Shabbos over there in Peidalet. So it gives you the special configuration. Then, if you saw the special configuration, you'll forgive me, I'm not going to go through it right now. So then, what I would tell you is, you're right. Your conclusion would be right. It's a Zeraim issue. Sorry, it's a Kalayim issue. But it wasn't a special configuration. Do you know why he individualized every row? It's called organization. People like being organized. Right? Let me just read in the Gemara. Elahacha mishum noi, inami mishum tircha deshamahi. So the Gemara says in one of two ways. Either noi, in other words, aesthetically. Aesthetically, it's simply more pleasing. Okay, Baruch Hashem, when we go up to Georgia, and we go to the farms in Georgia, and we go picking, it is very aesthetically pleasing. Everything has got its own row. And okay, that's number one. Number two, aside from it being aesthetically pleasing, it's also good organization. Meaning you're collecting for the students. In other words, you want to get for the Talmidim, you want to know which row to go down. It's nice and organized. Okay, good. Period. So therefore, okay, so the last 20 minutes of the daf, 15 minutes of the daf, so we did Klai HaKerem in Chutz Aretz. Okay. That was a lot, I have to admit. That was a lot of agricultural halacha that applies outside of Eretz Yisrael, and we have just concluded the Gemara's lengthy discussion, Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, and a good part of Lamed Tes, a discussion of the agricultural halachas that may or may not apply outside of Eretz Yisrael, right? A definitely difficult three days of Gemara. Chadash applies outside of Eretz Yisrael, certainly according to Rabbi Shimon, applies outside of Eretz Yisrael, in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. And then where do others stand on that issue? So go back to the beginning of today's daf where I summarized three basic viewpoints amongst the Tanaim. Okay, good. That would be Chadash outside of Eretz Yisrael. Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael. So let's just say as a concluding statement, let's just go with the Shita of Rav Yochanan. It's not the only Shita, but let's just go with the Shita of Rav Yochanan. Seems to be the accepted viewpoint. And that is Arla's Chutz Aretz is a Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. And as we note in today's daf, and that by Suffolk Arla, even though Arla's Chutz Aretz is Halach LaMoshe MiSinai, by Suffolk Arla is Mutar Lagamrei. Which I know is strange, but that's what we said today. And then finally, Klai HaKerem. So Klai HaKerem outside of Eretz Yisrael. That one's hard. even in terms of a summary, right? So in other words, we made a distinction between Klai HaKerem and Zerai HaKerem. We also made a distinction between Klai HaKerem and Harkavas Ilan, and which apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. So that's going to be definitely challenging. It sounds like from the Gemara's conclusion, but we are not concluding. Just observing what seems to be the Gemara's conclusion, Right? You like that, by the way, like a real disclaimer. It seems to be from the Gemara's conclusion that Zerayim can be planted together outside of Eretz Yisrael, meaning that for that, there's no gzera whatsoever. For Klai HaKerem in Issa D'Rabbanan, and for Harkavas Ilan, this one I'm not sure about. Maybe in Issa D'Raisa, for Harkavas Ilan. But that's just for the grafting, meaning once grafted, any fruit that is produced by that is totally fine. But that we already knew, right? No one ever tells you as you're shopping for fruit, hey, it's coming from a grafted tree, right? Okay. Right. My limited experiences of going out to the farms and picking fruit, came out every tree is grafted. In other words, the farmers told us. In other words, it really does strengthen the tree. It produces better yield. He said it. Like every tree is grafted. But again, that's only on my limited experience. Okay. No. Again, my limited experience, they're grafting different trees together, right? Basically, in order to it's to strengthen the tree. And I got a farmer over there.
It's the same tree, but different. Like it's an apple root and an apple branch.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. He's really from out of town, by the way. Okay. Kolos the mitzvah achas mitivin lo marichin lo yamav enochlos haaretz v'choshenos the mitzvah achas mitivin lo vein marichin lo yamav enochlos haaretz. And so now we start with the last mishnah here in the first parak of Kedushin and the significance of a mitzvah. Okay, you do a mitzvah, you get a big pat in the back, a big yisher koach. You get a mitzvah note. Okay, now over here, obviously, I did not do a good job translating the mishnah, but effectively, that's what the mishnah seems to be saying. And obviously, the mishnah is at its superficial level. Unbelievably difficult to understand. Let's do the Mishnah again, and let me do a better job translating it. And why here? Because again, we just spent the last number of Mishnahs going over mitzvos. Mitzvos shazman grama, mitzvos shena zman grama. Mitzvos ase versus mitzvos los ase. Mitzvos atuliyars, mitzvos shena atuliyars bars. So over here, now as we're wrapping up our topic of mitzvos, so now just the significance of a mitzvah. I'm going to read the Mishnah again. Kolos a mitzvah achas, you do one mitzvah. So mitivan lo, it's going to be good. Marichan lo yamav, extended life. Nochas aretz, you get to inherit part of the land. V'choshenos a mitzvah achas, and if you don't do the one mitzvah, ein mitivan lo, ein marichan lo yamav, ein nochas aretz, so you get none of the benefits, none of the three benefits. The obvious question, the Gemara, we're going to do a little bit of Gemara today. Uriminu, elu dvar madamocha perasem olam azeveh akem kayemes olam abay Elohein. The first Mishnah in Peya. Now I'm going to say we're all familiar with this Mishnah in Peya because it's part of the Nusach of the Tefillah. Every morning we make a Berachas HaTorah. First thing in the morning we make a Berachas HaTorah. And then what do? We learn Torah. In other words, not for now. Anyway, so, and one of the things that we're learning immediately after we make the Berachas HaTorah is the Mishnah in Peya. It's the first Mishnah in Peah. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Okay, and. So these are the things where Adam Ochel Peroseim Ba'olam Hazeh. For these mitzvos. Now the Mishnah in Peah is going to be giving a list. And it's a short list. Five mitzvos. Kibbut Avaim, Gemilas Chasadim, Achnas Azorachim, Hava Shalom Ein Adam Chaver, and Talmud Torah. And by the way, not only a list of five, but admittedly, it's a strange list. Right? In other words, making peace. Now, peacemaking is a big deal, obviously. But in other words, Hava Shalom and Am L'Chavero, I'm going to ask you, like, which one of the mitzvahs of the Torah is that fall under? Like, in other words, of the 613, could you show me where peacemaking is? Okay, good. Anyway, so admittedly, it's a strange list, but the Gemara's point is that I don't understand. Our Mishnah says that you do mitzvah achas, big yesher koach. Right, Marichin lo yamav, you're going to get extended life, you're going to get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Like, that's a big deal. But the Mishnah in Peah seems to limit it to five. And so that's what's called a stira. There seems to be a stira between the Mishnayos. In addition to the fact of, in other words, just what is simple Pshat in our Mishnah? But so I'm Rav Yehuda, so let's see what the Gemara is going to say. So I'm Rav Yehuda. Remember my theme alert for this first parak of Kedushin? All right, I'm holding by it. Because it really does work. And that is that a lot of ambiguous Mishnayos over here in Kedushin, the first parak, and right, this is now, My recollection is not great, but at least the third time where in comes Rav Yehuda and says, I know the Mishnah is vague. Let me say pshat in the Mishnah. I'm Rav Yehuda Hachi Kamar. So now what we're going to do is we're going to say pshat in our Mishnah. So Hachi Kamar Kolos and Mitzvah Achas Yaseir Al Zichu Yosav. So Mitivan Lavadama Kemisha Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. So let's say, for example, right now, how's your ledger looking? Your ledger is 50-50. Now, all these Gemaras, every time we talk about our ledgers, it's really hard. Meaning, how are we supposed to know in real time what our ledger is looking like? I don't know. Okay? I'll just say it out loud. I don't know how we're supposed to know what our ledger is looking like. But meanwhile, assuming that our ledger right now is 50-50, so now, kol ha'usa mitzvahs achas yisera al zuchu yosav. So now with the ledger being 50-50, so you do now one mitzvah, it's going to put you over the top.
It's a question of attitude. It's a question of that's the attitude that you should have. Everything is 50-50 and every single mitzvah matters.
I happen to like that. I'm not sure if that's the pshat in the Gemara, but your point is excellent. And right, and the Rambam writes like that. But you're right. But I'm unsure if the Gemara is actually saying that. So Mativan Lo V'Domo K'Mishnah Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. So now Mativan Lo, meaning that's what Amish is telling us, is that what's going to end up happening now is that the Hatava, in other words, there's going to be a benefit for you. It's as if you're a Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. So Mechlal Dehanach. So Afilu B'Chananami. So the Gemara says, okay, but what the clear implication is that Mishnah Peah is that there's something unique and special about those five mitzvahs. Meaning, our Mishnah is describing any and every mitzvah, where, as long as it puts you over the top, good, mitivan lo. And the Mishnah Peah, oh, those five mitzvahs, oh, they're special. So, Amar Rashmai Alam Rashim Haisa Shekula Machras. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what's special and unique about those five mitzvahs. Let's say your ledger is 50-50. Let's say. And it happens to be that of the ledger 50-50, on the 50 which are mitzvahs, you happen to have one of these five. So even though it's 50-50, so when you have one of these five, so that is a scale breaker. In other words, it'll take the, even though it's only 50%, but because you have one of those five in there, so it's going to take it, it's going to push it down. Okay, good. Let's pause over here. The truth of the matter is there's no good place to stop. This discussion is going to continue into tomorrow's daf. So in terms of saying pshat in our Mishnah, saying pshat in the Mishnah and Peah. So right now we just started. We just scratched the surface. Okay. We just concluded in today's daf on Lama Test. A, lengthy discussion in the Gemara regarding which agricultural halachas apply in outside of Eretz Yisrael and to what degree and what extent. We spent the last three dapim talking about the agricultural halachas of Chadash, Arla, and Kalayim. They do take effect outside of Eretz Yisrael, but to the degree in which they do, so go over the last three dapim. Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, Lamed Tes, here in Kedushin. So that's what we just got done discussing. We are now involved in the last sugya of the first parak of Kedushin, and tomorrow we're going to be treated to a little bit of Agadata, as long as we're here on the topic of the significance of a mitzvah.